The Project Gutenberg eBook of the Diary of a U-Boat Commander, by Anon. Adapted for Internet Radio by Mike Eshman. Welcome to the world of free plain vanilla electronic texts. E-books readable by both humans and by computers, since 1971. These e-books were prepared by thousands of volunteers. Release date, April 2005. Ebook number 7947. This file was first posted on June 4, 2003. Eric Eldred, Marvin A. Hodges, Charles Franks, and the online distributed proofreading team. With performance notes by Dr. Kula. Hello. Welcome to a Dr. Kula reading of the Diary of a U-Boat Commander. An Edgar Rice Burroughs-like look at the life of a young North Prussian officer in the Kaiser's U-Boat service. There's a girl, sweet yet mysterious. An older man. He's an army officer who believes he will die on the battlefield, where he received a disfiguring wound. But there is also a U-boat running before a gale, scudding the waves. And then an unexpected English torpedo leaps across the bow. This fellow has a penchant for saying, apparently, I sort of saw or did something. Nothing is ever exact. Everything is like a schoolboy padding his word count. Dr. Kula believes that he can best convey an idea by saying, the steamer is at 4,000 meters, rather than by saying, apparently the steamer is sort of at about 4,000 meters, and Dr. Kula never weighs about 200 pounds, rather, it's 200 pounds, on the nose. I am talking about what I did with this book, not all books. This helps vital content make it past my lips, and into your ears. In spite of my sometimes mechanical sounding voice. Is everyone in your office a competent and relaxed public speaker? Well, anyway, Dr. Kula doesn't beat around the bush. Dr. Kula has a problem in common with all readers, and that is making someone want to listen to his reading. Many turn-of-century popular works kept leagues of silent readers, on trams and buses coming back for more, with dashing characterizations of popular stereotypes, but blithely ignoring the fundamental reality, few of their readers could hope to read this material aloud without sounding ridiculous. Ha ha ha, Dr. Kula certainly doesn't want you to think he is ridiculous. Thankfully, the Diary of a U-Boat Commander had to have been written by someone familiar to the silent service, that is the U-Boat service. When the stereotypes are stripped from the text, what's left is a heart that beats with adventure and excitement. So reflect, and repent on the morrow. Today is for reading. Unleash the dogs of war. Introduction. I would ask you a favor, said the German captain, as we sat in the cabin of a U-boat which had just been added to the long line of bedraggled captives which stretched themselves for a mile or more in Erich Harbor, in November, 1918. I made no reply. I had just granted him a favor, by allowing him to leave the upper deck of the submarine, in order that he might await the motor launch in some sort of privacy. Why should he ask for more? Undeterred by my silence, he continued. I have a great friend, Lieutenant Zeus Ivanchenk, who brought you 122 over last week. He has lost a diary, quite private. He left it in error. Can he have it? I deliberated, felt a certain pity, then remembered the Belgian prince and other things, and so, looking the German in the face, I said, I can do nothing. Please? I shook my head, then. To my astonishment, the German placed his head in his hands and wept. His massive frame, for he was a very big man, shook in irregular spasms. It was a most extraordinary spectacle. It seemed to me absurd that a man who had suffered, Without visible emotion, the monstrous humiliation of handing over his command intact should break down over a trivial incident concerning a diary, and not even his own diary, and yet there was this man crying openly before me. It rather impressed me, and I felt a curious shyness at being present, as if I had stumbled accidentally into some private recess of his mind. I closed the cabin door, for I heard the voices of my crew approaching. He wept for some time, perhaps 10 minutes, and I wished very much to know of what he was thinking, but I couldn't imagine how it would be possible to find out. I think that my behavior in connection with his friend's diary added the last necessary drop of water to the floods of emotion which he had striven, and striven successfully, to hold in check during the agony of handing over the boat, and now the dam had crumbled and broken away. It struck me that, down in the brilliantly lit, stuffy little cabin, the result of the war was epitomized. On the table were some instruments I had forbidden him to remove, but which my first lieutenant had discovered in the engineer officer's bag. On the settee lay a cheap, imitation leather suitcase, containing his spare clothes and a few books. At the table sat Germany in defeat, weeping, but not the tears of repentance, rather the tears of bitter regret for humiliations undergone and ambitions unrealized. We did not speak again, for I heard the launch come alongside, and, as she bumped against the U-boat, the noise echoed through the hull into the cabin, and aroused him from his sorrows. He wiped his eyes, and with an attempt at his former heartiness, he followed me on deck, and boarded the motor launch. Next day I visited U-122, and these papers are presented to the public, with such additional remarks as seem desirable. For some curious raison the author seems to have omitted nearly all dates. This may have been due to the fear that the book, if captured, would be of great value to the British Intelligence Department if the entries were dated. The papers are in the form of 2 volumes in black leather binding, with a long letter inside the cover of the second volume. Internal evidence has permitted me to add the dates as regards the years. My thanks are due to K for assistance in translation. Edian. Diary of a U-boat commander.